program where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome to VFN TV Today. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is John Ramos. He'll be with us in just a little bit, but we're so excited about being with you. We've been kind of pretty intense the last couple of programs. I mean, the Lord's just been, you know, on our hearts to be able to deliver the things that we delivered. You know, I encourage you, if it was too fast, too rapid, to go back and listen to it again to be able to get it, because it's literally a prophetic viewpoint of what's taking place and pieces are coming together. But today, I just want to encourage you today. Today, you know, yeah, this is what's happening. You know, some difficult times may be ahead, but not for God's people. You know, God takes care of those that are His. He takes care of those who are His. And that we're going to be talking about that today. We're going to be looking at Psalms 37 and understanding that, you know, in Psalms 37, we find out that despite what's going on in the world and despite what's happening with evil people doing evil things, trying to come against God and God's people, that God takes care of those that are His. And we just want to encourage you today. So we're going to have that conversation with you, and we're also going to possibly get a chance to talk about, you know, what is or who is, you know, when you hear about Mosul and what's taking place over in the Middle East today, did you know that Mosul is Nineveh? When you read about Nineveh in the Bible, that actually is Nineveh, the city of Nineveh. And one of the prophetic words that, you know, God has you know, given me was that, you know, if God had mercy on Nineveh, you think about it. This is a worldly city that was doing, you know, sinful things. And God said, you know, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to tell them. And eventually, long story short, he got there. He told them. And Nineveh repented. I mean, think about that. And God relented and changed His plans. The plan, He was going to bring destruction on Nineveh, but He changed. And that's what's so good about our God. That's how we can have confidence in our God. When He says He'll take care of those that are His, I want you to be encouraged and know that, you know, God is going to take care of you. And you just want to abide with Him. You want to listen to what's going on. But I want you to join us today as we begin to talk about Psalms 37, because it talks about, you know, it begins with fretting. You know, don't fret. How many people today, I think this is the largest population, it could be because of the presence of the medication, but the largest medicated population, I think, in the world now over anxiety drugs and anxiousness and, you know, nervousness, and it produces all these other things in our life. And it's like, are we fretting? You know, and God's told us that we don't have to fret when we trust in Him. So encourage you. Join me over here. I'm going to walk over here with John, and we're going to join you talking about, you know, Psalms 37 and Acts 4 today. Come on, join us. So, John, talk to us, man.
We have so much to discuss today, and I'm excited about our conversation in Psalm 37. It's exciting when we just talk about the Lord and how He loves His people and the things He's going to be sharing with us to encourage us, because God wants to leave us with hope. He wants us to be secure in His love and hopeful, not fearful, not full of anxiety, but with great faith and expectation for what He's going to do in our life every day. And that's the exciting thing about our relationship with the Lord, is that every day is a new day. His mercies are new every morning, and it's a journey. And I'm personally grateful to have a relationship with Him where I can just enjoy His encouragement.
It's so wonderful. You know, God is just so faithful.
Yeah.
And we want to encourage you today that, you know, our God is faithful. Mm. And when we don't have an abusive God, we don't have a God that just wants to do, you know, harmful things. We have a loving Father who disciplines those that He loves and hopes to bring us to a place of rightness with Him so that we can live with Him forever.
That's right.
And He says, consider hardship as discipline. I'm treating you as a son. Mm-hmm. And discipline has been so twisted today, John.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's been so twisted that, you know, every time you try to properly and lovingly discipline, the enemy's so twisted that so much people just think, oh, God hates me, or you hate me, mm-hmm. or, you know, why are you bringing correction in my life? And it's like, hey, I mean, you know, we need correction. We need that in our life.
How would you know?
How would you know? And He compares, you know, us as sheep and Him as a shepherd. And a shepherd is not going, oh, great, I got to use my, you know, my shepherd's rod to kind of bring them in or
sure.
hurt. It's just a typical thing. It's what happens. But a loving God shepherds his people, and he, like a shepherd loves his sheep, greater than that, God loves us so much that he laid down his life for us. And so I just want to encourage you today that, you know, begin to say, you know what? You know, if we've been praying for revival, we've been praying for our loved ones to be saved, we've been praying for, you know, a nation to be saved, then if that requires hardship, if that requires a time of difficulty, times of trouble, then what we do, we just say, you know, if that's what it takes, you know, I'm willing to do that for souls. I'm willing to go through that. But then we find out through Psalms 37 that God's even going to take care of us even in that.
Well, God's word says that even in the trouble, he's an ever-present help in the time of trouble.
That's right.
So even though we may go through difficulties, we may go through trials, he doesn't leave us alone.
Right.
He's willing to be there with us as we go through fiery experiences and trials and things, you know, that come against us.
Yeah, and we're actually hearing, that's what we're hearing, you know, that, you know, God loves us so much that we're fixing to go through some hardships. But we need to lock ourselves. And one thing, you know, in Psalms 37 that we'll be talking about, he says, because you hid my word in your heart. Think about that. Because you put your word, my word in your heart, that's what's going to sustain you. And so when we talk about abiding, I mean, think about this. You want to begin to abide with the Lord. I mean, if you want to have peace in the midst of no matter what's going on, you know, you can fix it. And that just begin to abide with the Lord. We have a simple plan for you at iabide.org. But think about this. Start every day with gratitude. You know, what are we grateful for? You know, what do you raise your hand and go, praise God, you know, about? God has done something, acknowledging what he's done, not what you've done, but what he's done in your life. All good things come from our Father above. So you can just say, wow, God, you did this. Mm-hmm. And the second thing, you know, you think about, you know, you would think about, you know, your word have I hid in my heart that I wouldn't go the wrong way.
Right.
And like we're going to find out in Psalms 37, he says, because you hid my word in your heart. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And so the next thing you want to do in your abiding is just, you know, get in God's word and take maybe one verse of scripture, you know, one area of scripture, and just that whole week just kind of meditate on that till you just get it inside of you. You know what I'm saying? And that's what we're talking about, Psalms 37. I've just been really just soaking on it. It's just so beautiful, and it's a perfect word for where we're at. And then the next thing you do, you write the word what? I mean, you got the word gratitude on the journal. Right. You got the word word, you know, what word I'm hiding in my heart. And the next word would be, you know, what? No, where? Would be where. Mm-hmm. As you're reading the scripture that day, you know, you're progressively reading through scripture, you know, all of a sudden God just stops you. You know, something stands out. Don't go any further. Just stop and write down, man, this is where God stopped me today. This scripture, this verse, whatever, you know.
It's so important because a lot of times the temptation for believers and people is to read, you know, quantity versus just quality, just spending time with God.
Getting those works in, right?
Right, information versus revelation.
Right. And so with that, you know, you have, you know, where God stopped you. And so you write that down. And then you write another word in your journal called what? God, what are you saying to me about me? I mean, not the time to resolve all the world's problems and, you know, think about, God, what kind of word are you giving my spouse today? What's for my children or my parents or my boss or whatever? And then you're beginning to build a personal dialogue with God. Mm-hmm. And so you write down, you know, what is God saying? You know, what is God saying to you? And so then you write that down, whatever that is. And then finally, the last thing that I like to do and I encourage you to do is to remember that without the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, it's impossible. Because maybe what was, God said, I want you to start doing this, I want you to start doing that, or stop doing this, or something happened in that encounter.
Right.
And it's going to take faith to do it, or it's going to take faith and confidence to not do it. But that only comes through your full, complete trust in the finished work of the cross of Christ. Because the power comes from God's Spirit when we trust in what God completed on the cross. We don't trust what God did on the cross and just go our own way. That's not trust.
Right.
Trust is when we're willing to go through the fire, trusting that God will deliver us from the fire. And even if he doesn't, we'll be with him in heaven. But, you know, that faith to obey God, the empowerment. And so when you put down, you know, this cross, I draw a little cross. I'll do that sometime for you. But you just I draw a little cross, a little stick man kind of, you know, bowing down to that cross. And I say, you know, what am I going to lay down at the cross today? What's my worries? What's my concerns? Maybe your kids, you know, you've been carrying your kids around. You want your kids to be saved and know God. But listen to this. You couldn't even save yourself.
That's but good. If you lay them down at the cross of Christ, his finished work, what happens is when you let go, God begins to move. When you stop that, you know, God starts that. And when we trust fully in his finished work, it releases, I mean, we're not releasing God's Spirit, but God's Spirit begins to move because he sees that we're trusting him. And next thing you know, all this stuff that you tried to make happen, God is actually, because it was right in what you were wanting, but the problem was you were trying to do it instead of God trying to do it. And so you just lay that down. And believe me, every day you'll have something to lay down. If you're living a life of following God, every day you're going to have to lay something down. Sometimes every day you'll lay it down again and again. And it's so cool because I can go back and look at all these things I just laid down, you know, and just put it down at the cross and just said, okay, God, I took my mind off of it. I laid it there and trust God's Spirit. And next thing you know, I'm just like rapidly, God's Spirit, he just takes over and begins to touch men's hearts and accomplishes so much in such a short time. It's just amazing.
It's amazing when we're at rest, God's at work.
Yes.
He doesn't need us to get involved in the equation. We need to trust him and believe that he is able to do what he says he's going to do in our life and our situations.
Right. And it's so cool. I mean, he wants this, but we are co-laborers with Jesus Christ. It's an intimate relationship with God. And what we're doing is it brings us to the reality that we're dependent on him, but he is cool with that. Mm-hmm. He's okay with that. And so when we start saying, you have a great relationship with God, that you really do have one. So you think about this. I don't know if you can see my hands here. I basically just go, you know, whatever, start your day with gratitude. He says to enter his presence, we have to enter his gates with thanksgiving. So the first thing we're going to do, we don't go start off like, oh God, you know, it's not, you know, the first thing we do is like, God, and you'd be surprised how all the negative things disappear. When you think about it, all the negative things disappear, once you're just like, I can't think about gratitude and what I'm mad about right now. And it's hard to smile and frown at the same time, that type of thing. So you're thinking, you know, what am I grateful for? And so what I do is I just draw a stick figure with his hand straight up, you know. And then I don't know if you can see me, like this. And the next thing is, thy word hath I hid in my heart, right? You know that little thing people do like this, and they put it by their heart like this. You know, I'll draw a little stick figure like this where he's holding. It's like, I want to hide God. I got to remember, I'm hiding his word in my heart. I don't know if you can see that right there, but maybe you can see that. I'm hiding God's word in my heart, right?
That's good.
So we go from gratitude to hiding God's word in our heart. And then the next thing is, now I'm reading God's word, and I'm like, a stick figure like this. I'm totally open, God. You know, where do you want me? Where am I reading today? What stands out? You know, all of a sudden he stops me here. That's where he stops me. And so I write down where he stopped me. And then the next stick figure is like this. I put my hands on myself. I don't know if you can see that. And it's like, you know, what about me?
Yeah.
What does that apply to me? What are you saying to me, God? I want to be able to write that down. And so then I write that down. And the last thing, like I said, I just kind of draw the cross and a stick figure bottom down. Remember, you know, thank God. Because if you end there without the cross, you walk away with this huge burden thinking, you know, God wants me to face Pharaoh. You know, God wants me to, you know, work out this marriage issue. God wants me to walk through this difficult time with my kids. But when you remember the cross, when you remember the finished work, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So we remember that finished work on the cross. What happens is that we're just empowered. It's like, okay, great. God, you can do this through me when I trust your finished work. And I'll step out because I have thoroughly and dimensionally walked in intimacy with you to begin my day, just like Jesus began his day early in the morning with the Father. More when we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Law, liberty, justice. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My question is, I've heard a lot of talk about the conscience laws lately as regards to like the medical community.
Right.
Yeah, I was wondering about the fact that we spend millions of dollars every year as taxpayers that we might not feel good about, that we have no say over, that goes to abortion.
Well, what's interesting is the Supreme Court, on the issue of how your taxes are spent, have said that's a general obligation of being a citizen of the United States of America. And when you have to pay your taxes, that means sometimes your government may spend money you disagree with. The difference on the conscience clause issues, it's an individual right that you have to not violate your conscience through an action. And paying the taxes is not one of those.
Learn more about our work and receive timely updates on the most critical issues facing our country today by visiting us at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
John, do you know the VFN TV app is out, right? I think it's 4.0, man.
4.0.
That is so cool. And they're doing a wonderful job at designing it and putting it together. And yes, everything that we're saying and doing is available now on the VFN TV app. All you got to do is go to your app store, type in VVictor, VFN TV, and it just shows up. Or you can go to VFNTV.com and click on the appropriate store, whichever one you actually have your phone with. But it's so important. You can listen to highlights. You can listen to the programs. You can listen to us live. We're live 24/7, 7 days a week. And some encouraging words, some any prophetic words that are coming out. You know, God's news behind the news. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. Listen, get the app. It's totally free, by the way. Go to your app store and find it today. Just type in VFN TV. It'll pop up. Download it for free or go to VFNTV.com.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome back. You know, I want to say, you know, real quick, like before we get started, that in regards to some things in the previous program, mm-hmm. that a statement was made that, you know, the governor of Texas was arrested for allowing people over the trying to defend the borders. Mm-hmm. Well, that wasn't what he was arrested for. But it just came together, and it had a lot of appearance of timings and mm-hmm. that type of thing as well. Just want to be able to put that out there. Well, you know, when you think about, you know, your children, and you have little children, can you imagine, you know, your 5-year-old child? And some people do have little children that mm-hmm. that are worried. I mean, they're really worried, and it's like, what? You know, it's yeah. like, yeah, I don't know if my G.I. Joe is going to exactly. be able to survive this process or something. And imagine them biting their fingernails or something mm-hmm. like that, and they're worried. And so a parent would say to the child, just go, don't worry, right? Mm-hmm. Just say, don't worry. And to a parent, that's just normal. And they want the child to go, okay, I trust you, Dad. Mm-hmm. Mom, I'm not going to worry. I'm just mm-hmm. going to play. I'm going to have fun and, you know, whatever it is. Go clean my room like all guys right. do and that type of thing. And so God tells us that. He tells us, don't worry. So when we hear all these, you know, when God lets us in on what is going to happen, like Amos chapter 7 says, he doesn't do anything unless he first lets us know. He's not telling us so that we can be angry. Mm. He's not telling us, you know, I had a season where, you know, I was hearing, God was letting me in on a few things, and I would just get angry. Mm. And finally, I just felt like the Holy Spirit was telling me, I'm not going to tell, if you're going to walk around acting like, you know, you're getting angry, I'm just right. letting you in on what I know is even happening.
Right.
And I'm like, oh God, I just felt like I was supposed, you know, just kind of that response. And you guys, there's so many things happening right now, John. I mean, we need to hear this is so important yeah. today, because you might be angry right now. You might be angry. And of course, be angry and sin not, and righteous anger is not wrong.
Sure.
But quite often, you know, it's like we're just yeah. ticked. Yeah. You know, it's like, can't believe you're doing this. And so I think about this. I think about first in Acts chapter 4, you know, when the church just birthed. Mm. I mean, the church just birthed, you know, think about that. Man, the Holy Spirit just exploded. You know, God released his spirit on earth, and you had, you know, Pentecost and all the things that were taking place. And Peter, who once denied Jesus, is now preaching this awesome message. And I mean, you think everybody's going to be excited.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody's going to be excited, because just like Jesus said, just like God foretold, I mean, here it is, the power. You know, these, you know, all this was going on. Thousands are getting saved. Man got healed, you know, at the gate, beautiful, all that. And they get locked up. I think the first thing that happens in ministry was a prison sentence.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're so naturally minded. How many people, John, how many people would go, yeah, I knew something was wrong with her. I knew something was wrong with him.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's like, yeah. instead of going to go minister to you
yeah.
and talk about the success of what God did, they would just immediately just, you know, it's amazing how worldly we
worldly,
as church
natural
thinks
mindset,
about, right?
Kind of mindset, yeah.
Right, right, right. Or they would think about, you know, John the Baptist. Mm. You know, John the Baptist, they would go, you know, he got shut down by the government. The government shut him down. that he never went, showed up to any pancake breakfasts. He wanted to go eat grasshoppers and whatever.
Them grasshopper things. I knew there was something.
He never would wear the suit. He always wore the little, you know, whatever.
And that long hair.
And he had to bring up the marriage issues with the king. You know, if he wouldn't have brought the marriage issues up. And that's why his ministry didn't succeed. Mm. And that's why he lost his head. Now, if you would be like us, they said, right? He's like, yeah. But they would have said that.
Yeah.
But Jesus said about John the Baptist, there wasn't a greater man ever who lived on the face of the earth born of a woman than John the Baptist.
Wow.
Is that not wild? That's like, woo. And then he says, the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. John. So here he is. By the way, the word here means here, but it just comes out.
It just comes out. Okay, just making sure.
Got to have some unique things going on. And they come out of, he's in jail. They pray for him to be released from jail. God releases him supernaturally. They release him from jail. This is one thing you can always be confident about, that the people who move in the worldly ways, people who are driven by their flesh, and people who are basically Satan's captives, they're always worried about how things look.
Yeah.
They're always worried about how do I look? How do I look? Are you looking at me? No, yeah. Second Street. I'm sorry. And so but when you're moving and God, you don't care, man. You don't know how it's going to turn out. Success could be a prison sentence and a beheading. That's you don't know.
Well, you live with the eyes of one, and that's God's eyes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's it. That's all that matters.
Yeah. And so, so here he is. Here they are. He's freed up from jail. He's freed up from jail. And their prayers answered, and he shows up, and they're praying. And of all the things they can pray about, I mean, it's amazing. The first thing they prayed about, and this is today, when you hear what's happening today, I mean, listen to these words. It's such a now word for us. And as they're praying, you know, he says, Sovereign Lord, Acts 4, Sovereign Lord, Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. I mean, that really, man, when you just relax a little bit and you realize, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You're not God of America.
That's right.
Somebody says, he's not God. Excuse me. He's God of the universe.
Hello.
So, you know what I'm saying? He's God of the universe. So it does, you know, he's not only God of America. He's God of everything that is. And so, you know, he said, you created everything. You made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything that's in them. Even that little funky looking horseshoe crab thing that scares the heck out of you. It gets turned upside down if you've ever been diving before. And he says, you spoke by the Holy Spirit through your servant, our father, David. And this is what he spoke. He says, why do the nations rage? Why do the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up. The rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. I was like, man, is that not happening right now? I mean, think about that. It's like, whoa, you're not coming against me. You're coming against the armies of God. You're coming against the host of heaven.
Careful, careful.
Careful, careful.
Careful, right. Careful.
Get that quote. We don't need a source for that one. And so then he goes on, he says, indeed, they're praying, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus. I mean, they're conspiring against Jesus. I mean, if you got a performance acceptance syndrome and you got to be liked by everybody, I mean, it's not going to work out too good when you're following by the Lord. You want to be liked by God, you know, loved by God, and you are, but you cannot be both. And he says, they did what your power, even though they were plotting against God's folks and against Jesus, but they only did what your power decided beforehand should happen. Listen, God holds the king's hearts in his hand and directs them like a water course. I mean, think about that. So if you really realize that, you're thinking like, are you using someone out of control right now to bring me in control? Am I trying to complain about this man or woman in leadership, my boss, supervisor, whatever it is? But you're actually using that in my life to hone me in. I mean, like Nebuchadnezzar, you're called Nebuchadnezzar your servant.
That's right.
I mean, think about that.
You know, shaping me.
Right? Yeah. And even Nebi thought it was himself, right? Yeah. And then after long hair, a few fingernails later, he needed a pedicure and all that. And so they're praying right here. And so after they prayed, they just came out of jail. I mean, how many people quit serving God and following God once they go through a difficulty because it's crazy? Gospel's been preached, which means good news, but this message has been preached from the pulpits, which is really, you know, I guess I could say in a nice way, doctrines of demonic activity.
Yeah.
And so, because this is not what Jesus said, in this life you'll have troubles, things are going to happen. This is your one life to walk this out. And so a lot of people just would quit. They go, you know, I talked about Jesus at the workplace and didn't get the raise. Like, are you serious? You know, that James Foley lost his head.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
it's like,
right.
Really, we're talking about you lost a pay raise?
Mm-hmm.
And so in that, you know, so here they were praying. They didn't quit. They stayed in there. Difficulty didn't stop them. And they pray. They ask God for boldness of all the things they could be asking for. And after they had prayed, it says the place they were meeting together was shaken. Imagine them just being shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word with boldness. So the very thing they told them not to do, don't ever speak again in this name of Jesus. They prayed to Jesus. They prayed to the Father. And he came down and anointed them to do more of what they said don't do, but this time to do it in boldness. In other words, I don't know what that was, but wait out. I'm going to spend some time with God. And must not have said it clear enough.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be more bolder in what I say. More when we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
And we want to encourage you today. Listen,
that's right.
The Lord is a faithful Father. He is hope and love himself. He's compassionate. He's gracious. He's full of mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And although he is sharing with us and letting us know that, listen, judgment is upon us, if we repent, if we cry out to him, if we seek him and humble our ways and acknowledge, Lord, we have sinned before you, things can turn.
Mm-hmm.
Things can turn. Things don't have to happen. And that is our desire, and that is our hope.
Right, and that's why it's so important to partner with us, so
yeah.
We can continue to be that trumpet. That
absolutely, absolutely. Partner, partner, partner. We have all different ways how you can do that just by going to VFNTV.com. We have worked very hard to try to put things together in a way that you can easily find it. There's ways for you to partner as a sponsor. There's ways for you to partner as an underwriter. Just go to VFNTV.com and you'll see the torch on the right hand in the center of the page, and you'll be able to follow, has some hands around the torch.
Mm-hmm.
That's your hands. That's our hands. That's all of us holding the torch together so that we can continue to keep the light in this dark world, and so that others can come and be informed and grow in the things of God. Listen, we can do this when we have our eyes focused on Jesus and on him alone, and when we have our ears attentive to his very word.
If you don't have a plan to abide with the Lord, we have one for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll just begin to just revitalize your prayer life. And you'll find that not only are you talking to God, but you're dialoguing with the Lord and having this documented conversation. We have a plan for you. It's at iabide.org. It's a free plan. You can request it today, and it's amazing how your life you'll just have peace in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing when we do what God says and operate in the context of how he says do things. It's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be. Mm-hmm. And children are abiding with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I know as adults, we should be able to do that.
Wow. At VFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device, no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device.
Welcome back to VFN TV. We were talking to you. I just want to encourage you today, and we want to go right into this beautiful psalm, the Psalm of David 37.
Mm.
It's so appropriate because so many things are going on right now. I mean, if you had a chance to be listening to VFN TV over a couple of months, you know, the last couple of years, you're hearing some pretty amazing things that are taking place right now. But these are the times that prophesied. These are the times spoken of. And what's coming with it is a great harvest, you know, when you plant a harvest, you got to till the soil at first. And so, you know, that's happening. But let's just kind of go through Psalms 37 because it's so important to us. And the first thing that we're told in this Psalm of David is, you know, you probably can see this image over here. They're going to come up as we're talking about it, just kind of get that point across. Is like, he says, do not fret because of those who do evil. I mean, you think about that. Do not fret because of those who do evil. And it's let's that's not how it should be up. It should be up. So just do not fret because of evil. That's the first thing of evil people. I mean, think about all the evilness that's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about all the evilness that's going on right now. And you, the thing you want to do, you want to just fret. You know, and you think about fretting. You see this lady right here. I mean, she, imagine, do you see, I see people like that right now.
Yeah.
And the people that aren't like that, that don't know God, are medicated in some way, whether it's entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't watch the news anymore. I just have Netflix.
Right.
So, oh, you buried your head in the sands of Netflix.
Right.
That's
encouraging.
That's
right.
Encouraging.
Right.
Yes, that's encouraging. But he says, don't even fret. And so it's so important to think about, you know, not fretting because of evil people, because God doesn't say, hey, listen, I need you. If you don't fret, you're sinning. You know, if you walk around peaceful and full of joy, I mean, there's some people that feel that's their job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, aren't you worried?
Right.
It's like, I don't have time to be worried.
And they're concerned that you're not worried.
Yeah. But then he says, you know, it's okay for you not to fret.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right for you not to fret. It's important. And so think about, okay, I'm going to just not fret. And then he says, and don't be envious of those who do wrong. It's important because there's a gain for a while. There's a gain for a while of those who do wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You start seeing for a little bit, you know, things start working out for them.
Right.
You know, they stepped over you to get the cell. They
cheated you, robbed you.
I'm trying to think of great adjectives to describe it better, but they just kind of stepped on you to get promoted at work. And maybe, you know, you see somebody who you had this great relationship with your spouse, but they divorced you, and it looks like now they're, quote, happily, you know, things are going on. But just hold on.
Yeah.
If you don't fret and you just hold on, unless they repent, it's not going to work. It's not going to.
It never does.
And it doesn't work out.
Mm-mm.
And then he says, so don't be envious of them. There's a lot of people that profess to be Christians. They're constantly looking at what other people have. They watch television and think, I want a house like that.
Right.
I want a job like that. I see Christians that were going like, you know, I want to go get on that that Trump show, Donald Trump show.
Right.
What was it called? What's the show?
Apprentice.
They want to get. It's like that's
greed.
Well, it's like the whole thing is like you're fired. Anyway, so. And so then he says, for the grass, and this is how he describes how it will turn out. He says, for the grass, you think about green grass and the beautiful green grass, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said, for like grass, these folks will soon wither. So even though it's green, I mean, you think about this, even though the green, it starts looking just terrible, things will just change. And you'll watch over time. And it'll look good for a moment, but look at this withered grass. I mean, it's just, that's what it's going to look like.
Well, think about it. The Word of God says that, you know, godliness with contentment is great gain.
Right.
When you're envious and you're striving and things that were flourishing, it just wears on your body. You become just like the dry grass. You're never going to catch it. You're trying to catch something that it's never going to manifest in your life because of wrong motives.
Right. And he says, and of course, he says also like green plants that will soon die away. And that's why we don't rejoice in the fact that someone is going to end up that way. We actually are like Moses interceding, or like Abraham interceding, saying, this is the wrong way. I know it seems good today. I know that it seems like you're getting this raise, or you know, things are going good for you, but the end result is you're going to have kids all over the nation that you've birthed, and you're going to have to live with this, leaving them around. Or if you feel reprieved that, hey, you're going to take this child's life in your womb, but let me tell you, before you do that, it's not going to be good for you, because you're going to secretly, outside the healing of God and forgiveness of God, you're going to be tormented in the context of that. And so we intercede. We're not rejoicing. Oh, that's one day they're going to be, you know. We're like, no, we want them to end up that way. And one way we find out if we were that way, we're not envying them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and because why would you envy someone that would be like Miriam, Moses' sister, that's not going to end up well, right? And so then he says, through all that, in verse 3 of 37, he says, trust in the Lord and do good. I mean, think about that.
Mm.
Trust in the Lord and do good. You can really think about this. You can do a lot of good things if you give up all that time you're putting into fretting. I mean, how many people just watch the news? That's why we're at VFN TV. If you really watch the news and study the news, don't listen to what they're saying. Listen to what's being presented to you. It's like a shotgun being shot at you. Rapid fire of tragedy, 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 tragedy. No resolution, no biblical perspective.
No.
And then all of a sudden, kitten video. And it's just like, and so people have all this knowledge, right? And they go around talking like, I know this, I know this, I know this. Right. But what are you doing with that? If you just let
fretting,
that.
Fretting.
Yeah, fretting. Versus understanding and going in wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and I encourage you, you know, we're looking at right now. I mean, this is what the Lord told us. And we actually, it has been prophesied by, I believe, Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries and others that anchors would begin to lose their seats. And as we see right now, there's a national news anchor, strangely, that's been removed from their seat for 6 weeks suspension.
6 months.
6 months suspension. I guess he suspended himself. I don't know if he's the whole thing. That's coming. That's coming because if all you're doing that is for a job,
mm-hmm.
if the only reason that you are, you know, doing news, for example, or that type of thing for a paycheck, and there's people in ministry that are just doing it for a paycheck, and how you find out is take it away from them.
Oh.
And that's potentially that's what's going to happen, you know.
Yeah.
And for a little bit, just relax. Everything's good. Don't fret. Don't worry.
Trust in the Lord and do
all your might. And lean not on your 401k. And so he says, trust in the Lord and do good. So when you actually begin to just stop fretting, give yourself permission. God gave you permission.
Right.
Don't fret.
Yeah.
You don't have to be like this particular folks back here that you're seeing that are fretting. You can just like, you know, hey, I'm not going to fret. And then he says, go around and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy your safe pastures.
Mm. You know, when we're not trusting the Lord, what we're really saying is that God can't trust in God's character. We can't trust in God's word and his faithfulness.
He's not in control.
He's not in control. Who are we to judge the Lord like that? You know, got to repent and say, Lord, we trust you. You're faithful. Mm-hmm. You have integrity. You keep your word. And when we're able to do that and have confidence in the Lord, we can just pull back and say, God is in your hands, not in my hands.
And what you find out, too, you find out who is really your God. Mm-hmm. Because if when you feel like you let go, everything's going to fall apart. Ding, ding, ding. You actually feel that you're the one that's in control.
Right.
And that's a terrible place to be. You can't afford the medication. You can't afford the lack of sleep. You're going to try to control everybody. They're not going to do what you say. Mm-hmm. You're going to be miserable. You're going to be like a warden of people. I mean, you're trying to adjust the whole world. I'll never forget a man called me once, and he's telling me how everything needs to change so his life's better. I'm like, how are we going to change the whole world for you? You know, it's like, you're going to have to learn to live with your life. That's we cannot change this whole world so you have a happy life. And so then he says, you know, just enjoy this thing. It's okay. Even though the world's falling apart, even though terrible things are happening, and I encourage you first, you know, go through the mourning of what's taking place. But after you've placed that, you're not supposed to stay unnaturally in some place of mourning because mm-hmm. you'll become dysfunctional. And begin to just enjoy your life because God is doing some stuff. And then take delight in the Lord by abiding with him like we're talking about. You can just delight in the Lord. Just delight in the Lord. It's like, wow, God, what are you doing here? I got to prepare myself. I want to be a disciple and want to make disciples. That's what he called us to do, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's like, man, I just want to delight myself in the Lord. And then he says, if you do this, he'll give you the desires of your heart. How many people have been wanting the desires of their heart? How many people have been wanting that to come to pass?
Yeah.
But they've been fretting and they're fearful and they're envious. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And not having any gratitude, too. I mean, you're able to delight yourself in the Lord when you spend time abiding with him and you're grateful for all the things that he's doing and has done. And it calls you to sit back and say, God, you are so amazingly and exceedingly good. I can trust you. I can live in, you know, in you and enjoy your presence and all the wonderful things that you're doing in me, through me, around me, for my family, my loved ones. And that's our joy. That's what sustains us and continues to walk with God, and it becomes a beautiful joy.
Yeah, and so then if we really want to have the desires of our heart, we got to trust God.
Mm.
We got to let go, even in the midst of chaos and confusion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you heard prudent preparation. We had that available for God. Let us prepare for 90 days. Just, you know, if like a hurricane's coming, we have that for you. It's available to all of our partners. Just get it. Here's for free. Subscribe to the the Torch newsletter, and you got it there for you. But just got, you know, it's not that you can blindly everything's going to work out. God's going to tell you what to do and when to do it. Mm. And so He's already said, prepare. And we're seeing it come to pass in many places, and like in Japan, and the people that heard about preparation, guess what? They were prepared when those, you know, tsunami came, when those different things came, they were literally, you know, okay with that. Then He says, you know, in that, He says, commit your way to the Lord and trust Him, and He'll do this. We just commit our life. That's abiding. Just abide with God. Abide in a relationship with fellow believers. You know, get connected and rightly related to the church God's called you to, the church family. And He said, He'll do this. He will make your righteousness, He'll make your righteous reward shine like the dawn. Mm. I mean, a shiny, righteous reward. Isn't that not cool?
Beautiful.
I mean, here they were with all that fret and all that fear with nothing to fear at all. Mm. Isn't that amazing? And your vindication, like the noonday sun. Think about that. So many people are trying to get their own justice, and they're trying to do these things. And it's like, you know, if we just follow God, we trust God, we go out, commit our ways to God, and we delight in Him, and understand He's in control, and we don't fret. You know, God, it'll all come out in the end. And if our heart is right before God, we're going to want good things for even the ones that have been adversarial towards us. That's how you know that you're sons of God, when you're willing to be persecuted for the sake of those who are persecuting you.
Hello.
Or, you know, willing to be humiliated for the sake of those who are humiliating you. Mm-hmm. It's Pat's favorite quote. He lives by that. Then he says, be still before the Lord. Think about that. Just be still. That's what I love about abiding.
Yeah.
And that's what I so love about abiding. And it's like, you just want to stay in this place, that abiding place. And you can walk. And I was talking to Kitchara Bradford in Houston just recently, and she's talking about how she's just walking continually now in this abiding relationship with God.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is. But, you know, you gotta, you know, it says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Mm. And so, you know, patience is enduring hardship without complaining or grumbling and all that kind of thing.
Through faith and patience, right?
Yeah, through faith and patience. And so, okay, all this stuff's going on. There's horrific things going on. We've been talking about them, you know. But we can be patient in this. We can even be patient in affliction.
Yeah.
You know, patient in suffering. We can be patient and just understand. I've seen so many things come full circle. It's amazing, you know, how if you just hold on. You hold on. Say nothing that will prevent people from coming full circle, and you'll watch things come full circle. Yeah. It is so amazing. We're going to have more when we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Anyway, first of all, I do want to say that I remember borrowing your bicycle once. I think it was your trike.
Really?
And yep. He had a seat. Mm. The seat was about the size of the ruler they gave you in the first grade.
How do you sit on that?
I don't.
I'm telling you, man.
I hover over it.
I'm thinking, I got on this thing and I made it maybe about 10 feet. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh. What's happened to me? I'm thinking, but I started thinking back. I never sat on a ruler before. That wasn't what I was done. We had like banana seats and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. I remember those.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm thinking, how can this man sit on the seat? And I thought, wow, I am such a wimp. I couldn't make it all the way around the block, you know, with that. And I'm thinking, wow. And people do ride on those seats, don't they? Did they?
Yeah.
No, it was like a ruler turned sideways. It wasn't even a ruler. It was really bad. And I just want to say that if you want to plenty of fruit in your life, you probably don't want to wear those kind of seats.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, think about this. You know, we're talking about, you know, Psalms 37, a Psalm of David, and, you know, the Lord is saying, you know, this word, the unction, the Holy Spirit speaking through David. He's saying, be still before the Lord, wait patiently for Him. And He says, do not fret. Mm. Do not fret again when people succeed in their ways. Isn't it amazing? It's like for a season you start seeing, it's like, this dude is so evil and is doing so many wrong things. you know, and you're thinking, you can fall prey to like, I can't believe this is going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
But then you find him up under a house dead in about 5 years.
Yeah.
And you think, wow, I didn't realize. Or you find, you know, this businessman that's taking advantage of folks and all this different stuff. And then you find tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
Or you find, it's like, how did you were in the business and now you're driving around with a cab. And it's like, how did that all come to pass? And then if you wait long enough, if you watch long enough, and one example of that is that I remember a particular businessman that just, you know, seemed to be really successful and we were kind of doing business together, several people were. Mm-hmm. And, but then one day, you know, my friends in law enforcement met with me and said, listen, this guy right here, you know, we're finding out that he's not into some good things. I'm like, I didn't know about that. And I said, well, what do you want me to do? Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, I have nothing to do with him. I'm like, done.
That was easy.
Done. And then next thing you know, you find out, you know, he gets arrested for some business practices, some ethical whatever type things. And other people, you know, had to go do their business elsewhere. Mm-hmm. But then they scraped his building off the face of the earth. There's something else there.
Wow.
Not only it's just like, it looks like for a season that they're mm-hmm. doing good, but if you just hold on, I mean, think about this. If you just hold on, I mean, you'll be really surprised. And then you'll become empathetic, realizing, you know, even though you got you a big house, even though you got you a nice car, I mean, the money you just spent on that car, do you know what you could do in the kingdom with that?
That's right.
I mean, think about it. The money you just spent on that car. Do you understand what we can do in the kingdom with those funds right there? And we'll have to answer for those type of things.
Hmm.
And so you don't even fret, you know, when they're succeeding. It says when they carry out their wicked schemes. Right now, there's some wicked, caliphatic, you know, things going on. There is, you know, luciferic acid being poured all over. The Alinsky tactics going on. See people that are, you know, promoting things. You know, I thought about, you know, it says, you know, in the first Sharia courts opening up in northern Texas, you know, don't fret about it. Just realize that's what happened and that God will work things out. Yeah. These things will be resolved. But, you know, the Sharia law says, you know, as he was saying, you heard him, he goes, no, cut hand off, cut hand. They steal something. Then I thought about, you know, if you take a vote in Congress, imagine this. I see this picture. If you take a vote in Congress, and every Congress person is not like this.
Mm-hmm.
But if they voted for, if they raised their hands to vote for Sharia law in America, which would be undoing the Constitution,
yeah.
I wonder if there'd be a hand there at all. Because the moment you raise your hand, and if you're actually taking
it'd be the last time, right?
Well, no. He says, cut the hand of the thief. So if in fact, that because you'd be stealing Constitution, wouldn't you? Stealing the nation. If you voted in Sharia law in America, you'd be doing away. So then, according to what we heard,
Sharia.
From the Sharia court, the tribunal in northern mm-hmm. Texas, cut the hand. And it would be like, you know, it'd be
racist dog.
And it's like, why would anybody vote that in? Don't fret. As a matter of fact, he even says this. He says, you know, refrain from anger and turn away from wrath. This is so important because, I mean, it's so easy to get angry right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy, but you need to know that our Father says, don't be angry. Don't you know, refrain from it. You know, you can have righteous anger, but come on. Righteous anger means we're walking in full obedience to God. God's speaking to us and we're speaking truth surgically to be able to do something.
Right.
Not a lot of righteous anger going on.
No.
And so you're reframing from anger and turn from wrath, because the wrath of man works not mm-mm. the righteousness of God. And then you got to go back and apologize. You got to say, I don't know what I was doing, you know, it's my strength.
At a fleshly moment.
You know, I'm only human. And then he says, refrain from anger, turn away from wrath, and do not fret. Do not fret, because it leads only to evil. And this is what's so important, because when you get taken over with anger and bitterness and wrath and fretting, it's not going to just be a feeling. It's going to lead to sin.
Yeah.
It's going to lead to saying things you shouldn't say, doing things you shouldn't do. I mean, it's going to cause friction between strife in your relationships. Mm-hmm. It's going to cause everything. And you think everybody's buying into your anger and your wrath and all that, but reality is they just see you as an angry person.
Sure. Often people feel justified in their anger, and there's really no justification, you know, a lot of times. Because it just winds up producing
more
sin.
Oh, just. It goes on and says, for those who are evil will be destroyed. Think about that. For those who are evil, first of all, it makes you want to go like, God, if there's any evilness in my life.
Yeah, Lord.
You know, secondly, it wants you cause you to want to pray for people that are doing things that looks like they're succeeding for a moment. But understand, in due time, they're going to be destroyed. It's not going to work for them. But those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. So when you see people saying, we're going to take over this land and we're going to do this, you know what? I'm just going to enjoy the sun today. I'm going to enjoy my time with the Lord. I'm going to commit my way to the Lord. I'm going to hide his word in my heart. I'm going to abide with him. I'm going to do what he says and just enjoy this journey. I'm going to lay everything down at the cross, and I'm going to hang in. I'm going to be patient, and I'm going to pray for you that you would be turned around. I think about these, you know, radical jihadists that supposedly are coming into our nation, you know, as Kamal Saleem is talking about with Qum Ministries, and we're looking forward to having him on soon.
Yes.
Again. And, but you know, when Kamal came, he got saved.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So we can pray for the salvation of the Arab people that come and with those mindsets, and all Arab people don't have that mindset, but just particular ones that are doing that, God can save them. He says he'll destroy those who do evil, but those who hope in the Lord, they'll inherit the land. So if you want some inheritance, if you want some land, if you're worried about the country being taken away, don't fret about it. Don't get angry. Don't get wrathful. Begin to abide with God and say, what does he want you to do? And this is one thing that would be powerful. It's not self-interest at all. Because you will answer for it in the last days. You know what? I've been complaining about media. I've been complaining about the news. And here I am watching VFN TV. I'm listening to VFN TV right now on the radio. And I have an opportunity to put my shingle out there for my business and let everybody know this is the answer. I want to keep the conversation light. I want to stand with God and the country in that order. And I want to stand up for Israel. And as a partner financially every single month, think about it. You're standing up. You're actually investing. You're saying, you know what? My hope is in the Lord. My hope is in the truth that's going forth like that. And then he says, in a little while, the wicked will be no more, which means you got to tolerate them for a little while. They're going to be around for a while. But in a little while, they're going to be no more. So when you see them, you go, hello, no more. You're not going to be here much longer. Though you look for them, you won't even find them. He says, but the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength under control.
Yeah.
When you meek a horse where you can ride him or her, it's that whole strength submitted to the master. You know what I'm saying? So that's what that would be. And prosperity and peace comes your way. He said the wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth against them. But the Lord, John, laughs at the wicked. We've got to start laughing.
Yeah,
I see some folks right now. I know we don't have a lot of time. But I just look and think, man, this is amazing. You're systematically evil. Everything you're doing is evil. And it kind of makes you like, I can see your whole plan.
Yeah.
And you can laugh at that. I mean, I could see where Paul stood before the king and said, I wish you were like me except for these chains, because they don't get it.
Yeah.
They don't get it. And there's so much more in this psalm. We're not going to chance to be able to go through every part of it. But he says, in times of disaster, the wicked, will wither, but you will not wither. In days of famine, you will have plenty, and you will enjoy plenty. Though the Lord's enemies are like the flowers of the field, they will be consumed like going up in smoke. I mean, think about that. He just tells us, do not fret. Do not fret. Speaking of that, let's just go ahead and close out in prayer. Father God, we love you. We thank you for our audience and those that are standing with us. Lord, we pray a blessing over each of our sponsors' businesses, God, that you would give them insight, that you would give them new innovative ideas. We call a new customer basis coming in, Father God. And we just pray, Father God, for our audience and our partners, Lord, that you would just touch them in supernatural ways, Father God, and give them that peace not to fret. God, and we pray for our whole audience, God, that you would give them hope and understand things are shaking because you're teaching us righteousness. Like you say in Isaiah, the earth gets shaken, so we learn how to be right before you, God. We pray, Lord God, that you would end abortion, that you would send revival. Dear God, send a third great awakening, we ask in Jesus' name. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. I think about Gideon. You know, God gave Gideon a torch. A torch and a sword. That's it. And 300 men to be able to deliver an entire nation. But what was it? It was based on a revelation, a word from God, a now word, a conversation from God that Gideon believed and carried it out. You know what we have? We have what's called the VFN torch. You get to it by going to VFNTV.com. And what we feel, we try to share the conversation we're having with our listeners. We really try to seek the heart of God, and we share it. But on the VFN torch, we have segments of those conversations, those programs, and the programs themselves. First hour, the extra hour, plus different programs and videos and more content that you can't see video on the radio, but you can see it at the VFN torch. You got to go there. You have get right to prophetic words, wisdom moments, good medicine, which is, you know, a merry heart. It's like good medicine, all the little humor moments that are there, original intent of the nation, original intent of the church, and so much more is available. You got to see it. You can actually subscribe to it right on the VFN torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN torch.